This is WRAL News, your number one source for local news.
New details about how a 20-year-old Raleigh woman died as her loved ones lay her to rest. We now know Christina Matos was stabbed to death.
And breaking news in the WRAL Live Center, Raleigh police are monitoring traffic lights out throughout the city. We'll tell you what we know in the Live Center.
Request denied. The judge of the Derek Chauvin murder trial says jurors will not be sequestered following another police shooting involved shooting.
New this noon, we now know that a 20-year-old woman murdered in her apartment near NC State last week was stabbed in the neck. Thank you for joining us. I'm Renee Chu.
And I'm Ken Smith in for Jeff Hogan. WRAL's Amanda Lamb is at the funeral home in Southeast Raleigh, where the service for Christina Matos is just getting underway. Good afternoon, Amanda.
Hi, Ken. You know, this is such a difficult day. I spoke to her father and her brother before they went in for the service. They are going to be speaking today, which you can imagine is no easy task. They don't want to talk about the case. They want to talk about Christina and her life and what she meant to her friends and family. You know, anytime a young person dies, it's a tragedy, but especially when they die under violent circumstances like this, it's so hard to grasp. And that's what family and friends are dealing with here today. Now, they gathered to say goodbye to her. She had just turned 20 years old. She was found dead with multiple stab wounds to her neck in her apartment on Hillsborough Street Easter Sunday. After her family couldn't reach her, they became concerned and called police. Since her death, friends and family have held vigils in her honor, pleading for justice.
You know, everybody wants to know why. And the sad truth is nobody has an answer. Nobody has that answer as to why. Why did this happen? Why did it have to be so tragic? Nobody knows. And we may never know. But it's difficult to try to give that comfort and that peace when it just doesn't seem like it's there.
Now, Matos' 20-year-old roommate, Eric Hernandez Mendez, is charged with her murder. WRAL has learned that they married just a few days before she was killed, and that she allegedly was trying to help him get his immigration status in order, and that he had agreed to pay her $15,000 in return for that. Now, again, the family and friends are just now gathering for this event. The person that we heard from is the pastor of the church that she grew up in. He said he knew her from Sunday school. He knew her from youth group. So everybody here has some connection to Christina Matos and her family. And it is definitely going to be a difficult day for them. And we will have more on this at 4 o'clock and online, of course, coming up this afternoon. Back to you, Ken.
Our heart goes out to the family and friends of Christina Matos. Amanda Lamb reporting. Amanda, thanks.
Micaiah Thurman here in the WRAL Live Center. Following some breaking news, traffic lights throughout the city of Raleigh are out right now. We want to show you this tweet that was posted 9 minutes ago by Raleigh police saying, "We're aware of traffic lights that are out throughout the city and are sending officers out to direct traffic as necessary." Right now we're making calls so that way we can have a full list of where those traffic lights are out. But remember, if you're heading out this noon, you may want to allow yourself some extra time. Back to you.
Thanks, Micaiah. It's the first time students in all grades in Cumberland County have been in the classroom for more than a year. WRAL's Naya Hardin explains the steps school officials will take to keep students safe.
It's a celebration in Cumberland County Schools. That's because it's been more than 365 days since students were in the classroom full time. Now these seats that have been empty that entire time are now filled. Come on
in. I'm actually pretty excited because I know how much of a challenge this year was to throw together. So I think with that challenge, I'm going to be even more eager to come to school.
Starting today, students in all grades will return for 4 days of in-person classes each week. Wednesday will still be remote so schools can be cleaned.
For us, getting them back to the building was important, you know, just giving them a sense of normalcy, because at some point we're going to have to get back to some sort of normalcy for our kids. So for us, we thought that it was necessary to get them here, and I'm so glad that the board, you know, decided to do that.
Until now, students were doing a mix of in-person and remote learning.
It just brought joy to my heart to just see them and to know that we were doing everything we can to make today special for them.
While it is no longer required, schools in Cumberland County will still do a symptom screening before students enter the building. Naya Hardin, WRAL News, Fayetteville.
We hope the students and staff have a great first day back. Thousands of students across our area are back in the classroom full time today for the first time in months. This is happening in the counties highlighted in blue on this map. In Chatham County, pre-K through fifth grade students are returning to full time in-person learning. Person, Nash, and Lee counties are bringing back all middle and high school students. However, Lee County schools will operate on a four-day-a-week schedule with one day of remote learning. Johnson County and Cumberland County schools are taking that same approach, 4 days at school, one day at home. Johnson County is bringing back students in grades 6 through 12.
Racial and ethnic minority groups had higher rates of hospitalization and ER visits for COVID-19 when compared to white people. According to the CDC, Hispanics represented the highest proportion of COVID-19 patients. Black people aged 74 and older were more likely to seek emergency department care than white people, but no differences were observed for those under 75. The governor of Kentucky says he will lift some COVID-19 restrictions once 2.5 million Kentuckians have been vaccinated. So far, 5 million residents have received their first shot. The change would remove the physical distance and curfew restrictions that are currently in place. The face mask requirement, though, will remain in place. Fewer doses of the Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccine will be available this week. The CDC says the company will send out 86% fewer doses than usual, from nearly 5 million doses to just 700,000. The slowdown comes after federal officials learned a Baltimore manufacturer making the shot mixed up ingredients, ruining up to 15 million doses. J&J has not said how directly this mix-up is related to the vaccine shortage. We've made it easy for you to find your shot by doing the legwork for you. Click on the Find a Vaccine banner on WREL.com and the WREL News app.
Breaking news in the Derek Chauvin murder trial. A short time ago, the judge overseeing the case declined a request to sequester the jury a day after a deadly shooting involving a police officer. Jay Gray reports the mayor has implemented a curfew and called in National Guard troops.
Hey there, and heightened tensions here after an overnight shooting just about 10 miles from where George Floyd died. It happened in the suburb of Brooklyn Center. 20-year-old Dante Wright, during a traffic stop with police there, shot and killed by an officer. He was pulled over for a traffic violation. Officers say that he had warrants and that he was trying to run. After he was killed, hundreds gathered at the scene.
Y'all say he was a good kid and just like George Floyd, it doesn't matter what you do, you don't deserve to be murdered.
Now, there were police reports of shooting and violence, rioting in some areas of the city. National Guard has stepped up their number of troops on the ground here. That escalation will likely continue. And this is a pivotal day in the Derek Chauvin murder trial. It could be the final day of presentations for the prosecution. They are expected to call a family member of George Floyd, as well as more medical experts. And then the defense will get their turn. Still unclear exactly how long their presentation will take, but we are moving as we enter week three closer to the part where the jury gets to make the final call. That's the latest here in Minneapolis. I'm Jay Gray. Back to you.
Well, back here in our area, four students were treated for minor injuries after an accident involving a school bus in Johnston County. This happened on Weaver Road in Kenley. There were 26 students on the bus. We're told the students were on their way to North Johnston Middle School. The Johnson County School System says the bus driver was not at fault. State troopers say the pickup truck driver was charged with felony failure to reduce speed. We're checking on repairs to a power pole that closed a portion of St. Mary's Street in Raleigh. Sky 5 flew over the scene shortly before 9 this morning. Police say the road was closed at Johnson Street after a crash. Now, that intersection is close to Broughton High School, but no students were involved. No word yet on what caused that crash.
Stocks are ticking down ahead of a busy week for corporate earnings and economic data. Let's take a look at the Dow Jones Industrial Average, if we have it. Down 42 points. S&P 500 also slipping after the index hit a record last week. And then NASDAQ also down about 60 points at this hour.
And lots more to share with you this noon hour. A deadly police pursuit in Georgia. While Georgia state troopers were chasing the suspect who investigators say is dead, and how that chase ended in Carroll County. Also, investigators released the cause of an explosion at a California home. The race against time to rescue one of the seven people inside that house. And later in the broadcast, the legal implications of Duke University requiring students to be vaccinated before the start of the school. Elizabeth.
It's a beautiful day out there. Take a look at Lake Gaston, looking gorgeous. Somebody out there on their boat. I know you probably can't see it, but it says, "Hi, Mom, love you." I should say hi to my mom, too. She might be watching. Hi, Mom, love you. I got a forecast you'll love, too, coming up.
You're watching WRAL News, now streaming free. Download and watch live on your favorite devices today.
Micaiah Thurman here in the WREL Live Center. We are continuing to follow that breaking news that we first told you about 10 minutes ago, that lights, traffic lights are out throughout the city of Raleigh. The Raleigh Police Department tweeted this. You're looking at a live picture right now from Western Boulevard. As you can see, traffic moving along fine here. We've just learned within the last 2 minutes that this is connected to an earlier accident. We'll continue to monitor it, bring you any updates as we have them here in the WREL Live Center. Back to you.
Multiple police officers were hurt. One suspect is dead and another in custody after a police chase. The chase began in one county, then crossed into Carroll County, Georgia, where the officers were injured. No word on the extent of their injuries, though. Police are working to contain that scene. Virginia's governor is calling for an independent investigation over disturbing allegations made by U.S. Army officer of Black and Latino descent. Lieutenant Karen Nazario says two Virginia State police officers pulled their weapons and used pepper spray during a traffic stop. You can see it unfolding here in body camera video. The traffic stop was flagged by officers as high risk, but in a federal lawsuit filed by Nazario, he says he was racially profiled by the officers and subjected to excessive force.
How many occupants are in the vehicle?
It's only myself. Why are your weapons drawn? What's going on?
Well, overnight, one of those officers was terminated. In his report, he said he spotted a vehicle with dark tinted windows and no license plate displayed that was eluding police. But in the video, the paper license plate was visible in the rear window of the new SUV. Also, Lieutenant Nazario says he was trying to get to a well-lit area before stopping.
The sixth victim in a mass shooting in Rock Hill, South Carolina, has died. Robert Shook died over the weekend after undergoing several surgeries. The 38-year-old was married with three children. Authorities say Shook was shot six times, but was still able to call his supervisor, who then made the first 911 call. Investigators say former NFL player Philip Adams was the gunman who killed Shook, three other adults, and two children. A 59-year-old man is being treated for critical injuries after this house explosion that was triggered by a gas leak. It happened last night in Valley Glen, California. The explosion severely damaged the home and leveled the garage, burying one man. Rescuers did pull him from the debris. Seven people were inside the home altogether.
A North Carolina judge is hearing arguments in a trial over North Carolina's voter ID law. A three-judge panel will hear arguments over whether the ID requirement passed by state lawmakers in 2018 is legal. Opponents of the law says it violates the state constitution by making it more difficult to vote, especially for people of color. Supporters say it prevents voter fraud. The CEOs of major companies are preparing to take action this week on voting rights issues in the U.S. The Washington Post reporting more than 100 executives are readying a statement on more restrictive voting laws considered by Republican legislatures across the United States, including right here in North Carolina. The companies could halt political donations and delay investments in states that pass such laws.
A record 4.6 million Americans received a dose of the COVID-19 vaccine on Saturday. Some states, though, are pleading with the White House for more as they struggle with the surge in new cases. Britt Conway shows us why the Biden administration is sticking with its current distribution plan.
In Michigan, state leaders and health experts are all making the same plea as they watch more and more people test positive for COVID-19.
Think about surging vaccines into the state of Michigan.
I think getting vaccine shots in arms is our ultimate defense.
Make the case for surging vaccines.
We are asking for more help, for more vaccines.
Some national health experts are rallying behind them.
We've got to be able to do this when there are surges.
We need to get in the habit of trying to surge resources into those hotspots.
And Michigan is a hotspot. COVID-19 positivity rates haven't been this high here since the start of the pandemic, and hospitalizations are nearing peak levels. Governor Gretchen Whitmer is urging high schools to go remote, youth sports to pause, and people to skip indoor dining for at least the next 2 weeks. And a White House official tells CNN President Joe Biden told Whitmer the administration will send an additional 160 government personnel to help out with vaccinations, but no promise of more vaccines.
We have to make sure we're doing this in an equitable way, in a fair way, and the way that we have been doing this is by adult population. We have to continue to push forward, making sure that we're getting as many people as possible vaccinated.
But Whitmer says she'll continue pushing too.
And I'm going to continue to fight for the people of Michigan.
I'm Britt Conway reporting.
North Carolina is not among the states asking for more vaccines from the White House.
Cleanup will get back underway in Pitt County after a tornado touched down in that area. This was seen off State Highway 33 in Belvoir. The National Weather Service confirms an EF1 tornado caused that damage. Surveyors said the tornado touched down in a field, bringing down trees and damaging several buildings and homes. It was on the ground for about half a mile, with winds reaching 100 miles per hour. Well, looking ahead to how today and the rest of the week is shaping up, dry and warm. Perfect spring day. Let's get right to meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner with more on the forecast.
Yeah, thanks, Ken. Just perfect weather, really, going forward, except for Wednesday. Wednesday, we've got a cold front that'll come through. That's going to bring us our best chance of rain all week, but that includes the weekend, too. So really only one day where we're going to have a chance for thunderstorms in the next seven. Mostly sunny skies to start the week, and temperatures are just going to be lovely, very, very pleasant. I love this camera. Look at this. You can see how many people are out in the WRL gardens, and the azaleas are at peak. This time yesterday, I pulled this camera up, and there were maybe one or two azalea bushes that you could see were blooming, and it's just color as far as you can see right now. Just a reminder that the gardens are open this year, and we welcome you to come down and take a peek. They're typically beautiful through the end of April, so you have plenty of time. They're different varieties, and they all bloom at a slightly different time, but gosh, it just looks gorgeous out there right now, doesn't it? It's a little bit breezy is the only problem. 76 in Fayetteville, 72 Durham, 68 in South Hill, and 74 degrees in Goldsboro. Taking a look at our winds, we're looking at steady winds out of the west right now, 14 in Roxboro, but we're gusting to 22. It's steady up to 9 miles per hour in Rocky Mount, but gusting to 18. Not looking at gusts anywhere else, but a pretty, well, I take that back. Southern Pines now gusting to 16, and Fayetteville steady at 11. So it's blustery out there. We'll continue to see blustery winds, but tapering off as we get closer to the evening. Once we get past the evening commute, we'll really start to see those winds dying down a little bit. But we're seeing gusts, you know, up to 22 miles per hour right now, and that will continue all the way through 4 or 5 o'clock. This is a look at the big picture. This high pressure system building in. Our winds are coming out of the west right now, and here comes the next front that will arrive on Wednesday. And we're going to talk in more detail about that and what we'll see in terms of rain coming up. Let's talk about the temperatures. The color contours here in yellow and orange are where temperatures are above normal. So it's just lovely out there right now, and that continues through Wednesday. Thursday, the cold front swings through, and look what happens. We see temperatures dropping down below normal as we get into Friday and Saturday. It'll feel nice, but it'll be a little on the chilly side. Today, 77, Tuesday, 76, and 71 on Wednesday. Temperatures will drop even more once we get into Thursday. So Thursday morning, 49, and then Friday and Saturday morning, overnight lows will be down into the mid-40s. Now, that's actually not too far from normal, and a lot of people are starting to put plants out, maybe in their summer garden. You're fine. Don't be too afraid of those mid-40s. It's still well above freezing. We don't have any freezing temperatures in the forecast. We have a slight chance of below normal temperatures for next week. You can see the middle of the country has a big chance, those dark blue areas. And then we're between below and above normal in terms of precipitation. So we'll call that potentially normal for the following week. Taking a look at temperatures, we're in the mid-70s today and tomorrow. But behind Wednesday's front, our high on Thursday will be only 67 degrees. And of course, we have some chilly temperatures overnight to deal with as well. Coming up, we're going to talk more about Wednesday and go over the timeline for that front and what you can expect.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Coming up on WRL this afternoon, Wake County is vaccinating with Johnson & Johnson shots again, just days after some people had adverse reactions. At 5, WRL reporter Keely Arthur explains why the county says it's safe and shows us which shot you'll get at different locations.
Then at 6, deal with the potential hassles and earn some extra money, right? Well, with houses selling fast in our area, should you consider going without a realtor? Five on your side. It's Monica Liberty has three things you should know. Well, the news continues now in New Now. You might see fewer golden arches inside Walmart stores. The reason the global chain is reducing its presence inside the big box chain.
And why is it so hard to lose unwanted weight and keep it off? One doctor developed an at-home kit to help find the answer.
The most experienced team of meteorologists. Weather coverage you can count on.
Makaya Thurman here in the WRAL Live Center. Wanted to update you because we've gotten some answers as to why some traffic lights are out throughout Raleigh. The Raleigh Police Department just tweeted that traffic lights are out near St. Mary Street and because of downed power lines due to an accident that happened earlier this morning. We want to get right to video of that accident. You may remember we first reported this to you at noon. Sky 5 flew over the scene. Police say the road was closed at Johnson Street after a crash. They hit a power pole, and there was no word yet on what caused that crash. At this point, the Raleigh Police Department is sending out officers to help direct traffic in those areas. Back to you.
Makaya, thanks. Well, dining options inside some Walmarts are changing, and a monster mashup was the winner at the weekend box office. Karen Kafer joins us this noon hour with today's business headlines.
McDonald's is closing hundreds of restaurants inside Walmart stores. The moves come as fewer people dine indoors during the pandemic and as fast food chains get more business from their drive-through windows. At the peak of the partnership, there were more than 1,000 McDonald's restaurants inside Walmart stores. The Wall Street Journal says eventually about 150 of those will remain. Walmart is testing Taco Bell in some locations and expanding Domino's Pizza in others to fill the space. The Federal Reserve doesn't plan on raising interest rates anytime this year. In an interview with 60 Minutes, the Fed Chairman Jerome Powell said a rate hike this year was, quote, highly unlikely. He also said that the outlook for the U.S. economy had brightened substantially due to vaccines and aid from the government. Powell predicts that job growth will start to pick up quickly as the U.S. economy grows. And Godzilla versus Kong continues to pull people back into movie theaters. The monster battle rang up $13.4 million in ticket sales over the weekend. The Warner Brothers feature has pulled in more than $69 million in the U.S. in just two weekends. That makes it the top grossing movie of the pandemic. Second place this weekend went to Universal's Nobody with $2.6 million in ticket sales. And those are your business headlines. I'm Karen Kafer in Washington.
Tonight, the battle rounds continue on The Voice. The contestants competing for the chance to move on to the knockout rounds include two singers from North Carolina. Victor Solomon is a senior at North Carolina A&T University. Dionne Warren is from Conway. Both are on Team Legend. You can watch The Voice tonight at 8 right here on WREL. Lots of universities across the nation are on the fence about COVID-19 requirements. One local institution, though, is moving forward with its plan. Why leaders there say it is best for everyone.
Also, a study reveals what you know about coronavirus depends on where you get your information. That story is just ahead. As we head to break, your winning lottery numbers are on your screen. Pick three this noon hour, 323. Pick four, 1471. Your Carolina Cash 5 numbers, 9, 14, 22, 26, and 35.
This is WRAL News, your number one source for local news.
Experts are split on the legality of a move recently announced by Duke University to require students to get the COVID vaccine. Duke isn't the only one to do this. Other schools, including Notre Dame, Syracuse, and Cornell, have as well. WRAL's Durham reporter Sarah Kruger spoke with the school and with multiple lawyers for their perspectives. She joins us live on campus. Sarah.
Renee, a Duke spokesman tells me they would not have made this requirement for students here unless they were confident that they had solid legal footing in doing so. Nationwide, some experts have said it's more of a gray area because the vaccine does not yet have full FDA approval. I spoke with Scott Holmes, a law professor at North Carolina Central University. He told me he would worry more about legal challenges if the university did not require it because they have a duty to provide a safe work and study environment. We also talked about public versus private schools in making such a decision.
It's a little bit easier, it sounds like, for a private school
to require it than it would be a public one?
Yeah, but only marginally, because the case law is pretty clear under the federal law and the Supreme Court precedent that this is an issue of public safety. And as long as the state and local governments are acting, you know, not reasonably and not arbitrarily and based upon some medical opinion, then it's likely to be constitutional and upheld. But it is a slightly different legal standard.
And Holmes said that he believes Duke and other private employers would also be able legally to require the vaccine of employees if they so choose. For now, Duke has only required it of students beginning in the fall 2021 semester who will be on campus and is providing religious and medical exceptions. Now, I reached out to UNC, NC State, and North Carolina Central University to see what their plans are, if they plan to require the vaccine for students. I am still waiting for those responses, but we will update this story on WRAL.com as well as the WRAL app once we get those answers. Renee.
See what you find out. Sarah Kruger live on Duke's campus.
Wake County could soon start giving out Johnson & Johnson vaccines at some locations today. The county temporarily stopped using the shot after some people had adverse reactions last week. WRAL's Michelle McConaughey reports from PNC Arena where some of these incidents happened.
Later this week, sites in Wake County will administer the Johnson & Johnson vaccine again. Here at PNC Arena, they're going to give out the Pfizer vaccine. But 5,000 doses of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine could be administered as early as today. 26 community providers will get that allotment. So far, about 16,000 people have been vaccinated with Johnson & Johnson in Wake County. The county has reviewed internal procedures and is considering changes like the volume of vaccination just to ensure patients can be monitored closely. And Wake County Public Health has been in close contact with the CDC as well as the J&J Drug Safety Team. They say what happened here is similar to what happened at sites across the country, and they're really not concerned. In Raleigh, Michelle McConaughey, WRAL News.
Well, families can now start requesting FEMA assistance to pay for the funerals of loved ones who died from COVID-19. Applications are open through a dedicated call center. FEMA does not contact anyone first. So if someone claiming to be from the agency reaches out to you, be warned, it could be a scam.
Harnett County deputies are investigating a shooting that's left a 15-year-old dead. It happened around 2:30 this morning in the Cimarron Mobile Home Park off Highway 210. That's outside of Spring Lake. WRAL Fayetteville reporter Gilbert Bays is live at the scene after speaking with people who live there. Gilbert?
Well, Renee, the deputies from the Harnett County Sheriff's Office wrapped up their investigation here about 30 minutes ago. Until then, they had crime scene tape that was wrapped around this mobile home. This is where the teenager was found shot inside. I talked with Sheriff Wayne Coates about an hour ago, and he told me this was an isolated incident here, so he feels everyone else in this mobile home park should be okay. Now, the investigators spent most of their time inside the mobile home gathering the evidence where the teenager was shot. They also talked with family members and friends who stood outside. The sheriff told me that he received a 911 call this morning in reference to a shooting on Cimarron Drive. When they arrived, they found the 15-year-old victim inside the mobile home, along with two of his younger siblings. Now, I talked with several people out here who live here who say they are shocked at what happened.
I see cops over here all the time, but they don't normally drive that fast, so I knew something happened, and my gut was a shooting, but I never heard a gunshot whatsoever.
At this point, investigators aren't saying whether they believe the shooter was already inside the house or if this was some type of home invasion. We're told the two younger children who were in the house also were not injured. Now, at this point, the crime scene tape is gone, but this investigation far from over, Renee. The sheriff is asking anyone with information to give the Harnett County Sheriff's Office a call.
Gilbert Bays live in Harnett County. Gilbert, thanks. No word on charges in a deadly crash involving a motorcycle driver and an SUV in Raleigh. This happened on New Bern Avenue near North King Charles Road. Witnesses tell us the driver of a Toyota 4Runner was turning left into a parking lot, crossing the oncoming lanes. That's when it came into the path of the motorcycle. Samantha Lynch heard the crash and ran out to help.
No, he wasn't conscious at first. He was knocked out because he went over the car. When he went over the car, he landed on the back of his head. He flipped over the truck.
The driver of the SUV was not hurt.
Fire investigators are looking for the cause of a deadly fire that badly damaged a fire that badly damaged a home near Fayetteville. Four people were hurt, including two neighbors who faced the flames to help rescue people inside. Around 10:30, the Cotton Volunteer Fire Department was called to Red Cedar Lane. It took firefighters more than an hour to extinguish that fire. A 21-year-old who drowned in Jordan Lake was not wearing a life jacket. That's according to investigators at the scene near the Parkers Creek Campground just off U.S. 64. Investigators say Oscar Yayo was one of three men in a canoe that overturned over the weekend. One of Yayo's friends tried to rescue him, but wasn't successful.
Looking to lose that pandemic weight gain? How a new at-home test can help you better understand your body and why it's difficult to shed that excess weight.
Also, the pitfall of relying only on social media for news on the pandemic, how people can become better informed.
Micaiah Thurman here in the WREL Live Center. Some major economic news for Johnson County. You're taking a look right now of some video from a meeting that happened just within the past hour that a major packaging firm plans new jobs and a $70 million investment in Johnson County. It's Berry Global, that's a Fortune 500 manufacturer and marketer of plastic packaging, planning an investment to create new jobs. The company plans to expand its facility in the town of Benson, creating 63 jobs by the end of 2023. Now, we went ahead and looked into how much they will be paying, average salary starting at about $45,000. Back to you.
It is something many can relate to during the pandemic, weight gain. For so many Americans, it's easy to put on, so difficult to take off. Chris Pallone introduces us to a doctor who's trying to bring obesity treatment to the masses.
The COVID-19 pandemic has ushered in a new era of health care at home. Now, a New York City obesity expert, Dr. Alexandra Soa, is hoping to capitalize on this trend.
Weight loss is not as simple as willpower.
Dr. Soa says recent research shows weight and metabolism are a lot more complicated than originally thought.
And a lot of doctors just don't know anything about it. So they'll just tell you, you know, to lose weight, you need to eat less, exercise more.
Soa has now created a weight biology kit, which allows patients to get 8 metabolic tests without leaving home.
We are testing for insulin and glucose, which is blood sugar.
She's looking for indicators of something called insulin resistance.
It is an undiagnosed epidemic in our country.
I was pushing like 300 plus pounds.
Danny Holding Mabley runs a popular YouTube channel called Fat Loss and Family. He's lost 150 pounds and has kept more than half of it off for about 5 years. He's partnering with Dr. Soa on a series of sponsored videos which will document his experience with the SoWell test kit and whether it reveals clues about what makes lasting weight loss so difficult.
When you lose the weight initially and you regain it, there's always that kind of like second or third time around you start to do it that it's like, why is this harder than last time?
The number of companies providing at-home diagnostic tests has exploded over the past couple of years, but uncovering raw data is one thing, interpreting it is another.
So what this kit is allowing us to do is to dig a little bit deeper and to really help you understand what your body is telling you.
A new tool in the battle of the bulge. Chris Pallone, NBC News.
The SoWell health test kit costs $199. The cost is not covered by insurance, but the company hopes to have it classified as an eligible flexible spending account purchase soon.
New research reveals the risk of death after surgery is higher for patients infected with COVID-19. Researchers tracked more than 10,000 patients who had surgery. There were more than double the number of deaths among patients who tested positive for COVID than those without the virus. Experts say COVID patients should be informed of this risk, and doctors should consider postponing non-emergency surgeries whenever possible. People who rely on social media for news about the coronavirus tend to be less informed about the pandemic. A study showed a clear link between where people got their news about COVID and what they knew about it. Those who looked to government websites for information were more likely to answer questions about the virus correctly, but those who relied on Facebook as their most trusted source of news got most of the facts wrong.
Making way for progress. A mainstay in the Southeast Raleigh community is going away, but the legacy lives on through a new facility. After the break, when you can bid farewell to the old Chavis Community Center.
Also expect highs in the upper 70s today with less humidity as we take a look at a very busy WRAL Azalea Gardens. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner tells us when we have a chance of rain and thunderstorms. Welcome back. Now's your chance to say goodbye to a historic landmark in Raleigh. The new John Chavis Memorial Park is set to reopen this summer, so the City of Raleigh Parks Department is allowing the public to see the old building before demolition this month. Joining us to talk about this new era is Grady Bussey, the director of the John Chavis Memorial Park. Grady, always great to have you on the program. Listen, give us a bit of a history lesson here and let us know what this community center meant to that community.
Yeah, so the John Chavis Community Center has been a staple to the Raleigh community for over 80 years. The actual Memorial Park started in 1937, and the community center that I'm standing in was built in 1961. This center will be demolished at the end of this month, and we are in a process of building, creating this unbelievable new facility for the public to see soon, and we wanted to give the public the opportunity to come and see this center, take a tour, and say goodbye, and reflect on the memories that they may have shared here at this old community center.
It's been the scene of a number of after-school programs. I've covered a number of stories there when it comes to voting. Let's talk about the history of this center. I understand there's also a connection between the Chavis Community Center and WRAL.
Yeah, it's one of these really unique fun facts. Actually, back in the 50s and the 60s, there was a program called the Teenage Frolics. That program was aired at WRAL, and it was by the anchor J.D. Lewis. Well, that program actually started here at the John Chavis Community Center. And it was kind of like Soul Train before it was Soul Train. And it was amazing. And what happened was kids would be out here dancing, and John Lewis would choose a child to come up on stage, and it was a big deal. So yeah, it was really one of the unique experiences here at Chavis.
It is a big deal around here for us still as well. So how can the public see the old building one last time, Grady?
Yeah, so we are doing live tours. We want to make sure that the community is, we're still in the COVID world, so we make sure it's COVID safe. So we want folks to go on our website at RaleighNC.gov and search Chavis Tours to be able to come on out, register, come on out, and you'll be able to take a look at various rooms throughout the community center that will display various activities and achievements throughout the decades, so 30s and 40s, 50s and 60s, 70s and 80s, 90s, 2000, all to the present. And it's going to be amazing. I mean, what you're looking at behind me is one of the rooms that we wanted to kind of reflect and make people go back in time and take a look.
A lot of history in that community center, and I know a lot of people are looking forward to a new facility this summer. Grady Bussey, always great to see you, my friend.
Thank you. See you guys soon.
All right. We want to turn your attention now to you, Renee.
Appreciate that history lesson and always learning something new. All right, let's get to Elizabeth Gardner, where we are learning something about the weather. As always, going to be a beautiful day, Elizabeth.
It is beautiful out there. We're taking a look at our WRL Live Cam network. And while it's zooming in, I got to tell you, when my daughter was in sixth grade, she played basketball at Chavis, and it was the best experience ever. I mean, she had a great time. I could go on and on about it, but we should talk about weather. 72 degrees is our current temperature. Looking at sunny skies there, beautiful over the DBAP. We'll take a look at Goldsboro, and it's gorgeous here, too. Watching out for some breezy conditions like we were talking about earlier, but I'm seeing the trees here in Goldsboro not moving at all, so we're looking pretty good there. 76 degrees. Looks so pretty. All the trees are really starting to leaf out now. It's just gorgeous. I'm surprised that we're not seeing more people on the golf course. I guess it is a Monday and it was a beautiful weekend, so I guess everybody got their golf played over the weekend. 76 there at the Longleaf Golf and Family Club. Tracking our next chance of showers and thunderstorms. That comes with a front on Wednesday. It'll bring some needed rain and may help to settle the pollen just a little bit. I got all excited. Our pollen count had gone down for Sunday, but it came back up again. I'll show you in just a minute. Let's talk about what's coming out ahead of this front. It's nice and dry. What I'm showing you here is what we call available moisture. And a lot of times there's moisture available in the atmosphere, but there's nothing to squeeze it out of the atmosphere. Fronts do a great job of it. Sometimes a warm summer day will squeeze the moisture out of the atmosphere, but it's very dry right now. You can see it looks clear. And then we turn a little bit green on Tuesday. Not enough for it to
to rain, but what that means is we'll see a little bit more cloud cover. And then we really start to see that available moisture surging as we get into Wednesday, and we'll throw the front on top of it. And it looks like late Wednesday night, maybe wee hours of Thursday morning when that front comes through, will bring us a good chance for some showers and thunderstorms. After that, this high pressure system builds in with winds coming out of the northwest, and we're going to be in for a pretty chilly day on Thursday behind that front. Let's take a look at our forecast as we get into this this afternoon and tomorrow. Mostly sunny skies with a nice low humidity. We head into Tuesday and we'll be a little more cloudy. We saw that available moisture really goes up, but we're not likely to see enough of it to produce any rain. And then we see the warm front, cold front following behind it with some scattered evening rain. That's going to be 9 o'clock on Wednesday. So most likely it will happen after the evening commute and a little bit more with that front coming through again, maybe 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. After that, the front moves on by and our skies begin to clear. Hopefully on Thursday, our pollen count will go down a little bit. It was high from yesterday, but the brand new one came out just about 5 or 10 minutes ago, and it's back up to very high, unfortunately. So it's going to be awfully high for us today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. But it does look like it's maybe beginning to ease up just a little bit. You know, with the pollen out there, you know, you might as well just not wash your car. 30% chance of rain on Wednesday. So you can see it's not going to be a huge chance. After that front, it looks nice and dry and really beautiful into the weekend. Back to you.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Who says you can't teach an old dog new tricks? After two incidents at the White House, the president's dog is enrolling in class.
Major, the president's German Shepherd, getting additional training after two biting incidents. The German Shepherd will have private training away from the White House for a few weeks to help him adjust to life on Pennsylvania Avenue. Last month, Major bit a Secret Service agent and a National Park Service worker. The White House referred to both incidents as nips. Well, today's lovable pets of the day come to us from Love Mutts Rescue. This is Anastasia and Chrissy. Anastasia is a 3-year-old Husky Shepherd mix weighing in at 63 pounds. Chrissy is a 5-year-old Beagle Corgi mix. Volunteers rescued them and hope they can both be adopted together. If you'd like more information about Anastasia and Chrissy, contact Love Mutts Rescue.
As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following today. Family and friends are gathered in Raleigh right now for the funeral of Christina Matos. Reports show the 20-year-old was stabbed to death in her apartment on Hillsborough Street. Police charged her roommate, the man she married a few days earlier, with her murder. Raleigh police tell us the investigation is continuing and anyone with information is asked to please come forward. Schools across Cumberland County welcomed students of all ages back to campus today. Grades pre-K through 12 started a 4-day-per-week schedule today. Wednesdays will stay a virtual learning day. Students and any visitors will receive temperature screenings before coming inside. Social distancing protocols will also be in place. And new numbers from the White House show progress in the race to get more people vaccinated. 22 million shots administered in the last 7 days. That's more than 8% of adults in 1 week. And 25% of adults nationwide are fully vaccinated. Just a few of the highlights. You'll find more details on WREL.com.
We'll continue to follow these developing headlines and more on WREL News when we return at 4.
You can also get breaking news updates anytime with our WREL News app. We'll get up to 77 degrees today, and it will be breezy, but no rain today. We hope you have a great Monday, everybody.